Welcome to Carnivores Don't Get Sunburned, hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
I was 362 pounds. I had chronic obstructed sleep apnea. I lost over 150 pounds at 17 years old. I got off of my CPAP machine for at night. All of those issues and concerns that I was facing initially while eating the standard American diet under the dietitian's supervision, all of those things went away when I turned to carnivore. No doctors, no medication. Just simply eating healthy and promoting your own life. Humans are designed to eat meat, and this is optimal, right? Because there's the difference between optimal and tolerable, right?
The following is one part of a multi-part series with the amazing young man named Garrett. You can see the full initial interview I did with Garrett, link in the description below. Garrett found keto and then carnivore at age 15. He was 362 pounds. He is now down over 150 pounds. He's dedicating his life to helping other people find healing. He's studying to be a nurse, and he is really one of the most intelligent people I've come across when it comes to nutritional studies, cholesterol, heart disease, so many of these major chronic health issues that we've been misled on. Garrett has really gone down the rabbit hole on. Be sure to subscribe. Be sure to follow Garrett. I'll have a link in the description below for this playlist. Subscribe to my channel so you can see the next two videos that are coming up with Garrett as well. Without further ado, let's get started. Another thing we were going to chat about a little bit was, you'd mentioned this earlier, and this is a big hot topic item right now, and that is these GLP-1s in Ozempic.
Yes. It really just makes me sad. That's what it comes down to. When you look at all the, and I'm sure you've seen them, if anyone's watching TV, you're seeing these Ozempic commercials, you're seeing these, you know, Eli Lilly, you're seeing all these pharmaceutical companies just pushing this medication called Ozempic, or there's other names for it. The ultimate purpose of these drugs is to enhance GLP-1. This is called a glucagon-like peptide. This is a satiety hormone released in your intestines by the L cells, and it tells your body to slow digestion, and it's a natural function within the body. Everyone wants Ozempic to lose weight, but guess what GLP-1, guess what three foods trigger a natural GLP-1 response? And this is according to statistical data. Eggs, fish, avocados. The proteins and the fats in these studies tell the L cells to release this. You feel full and good, and you don't have to eat for 6 to 8 hours. And there's studies showing that GLP-1 directly sets your brain up for success. It enhances neuroplasticity, which is essential for cognitive function, reduces neuroinflammation, protects blood vessels, and prevents amyloid plaque buildup, or this amyloid beta. This is the most inflammatory cytokine found in those with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. And if you go right on their website, it's on Ancient Nutrition, it's a website, foods that naturally cause a GLP-1 response, lean meats, protein, fat, eggs. If you Google it, what food naturally does this, the first food that is going to show up is eggs. So we're just skipping all of that, and we're going, well, let's just give them medication. And now we're seeing all these side effects. I'm seeing online that people are losing their vision, getting tooth decay, having neurological issues. This is not okay. And we're just thinking it's okay. My sister and I would always make the jokes because we'd watch all these medication companies and, you know, in the background, it's, you know, this cute couple, they're out at a fair having a great time. In the back, it's talking about side effects, internal bleeding, violent seizures, instant death, all these horrible side effects that come with just putting these synthetic chemicals and these medications in your body, when you can simply just take a natural route to try and better yourself. And so that's just what gets my goat. You know, it just bugs the hell out of me. I cannot stand when I see that. The data is all there. Eggs, lean protein, high fat, even pork, whether you eat pork or not is up to you. There's no animal food that you can eat that won't better your health. But we're just skipping that. We're going to medication because it makes more money. And that is a very big hot button issue. If you eat fish, chicken, lean meats, eggs, high protein, naturally, it increases this satiety hormone naturally. All you have to do is eat the food. Go to the store, buy eggs. It's probably cheaper than getting medication through your insurance and paying out the wazoo for it.
And having to inject yourself over and over again. I love what you said there about the word natural, because that's really what it is. We've dipped from what is natural for humans, and then we get sick. I think part of the problem is everything is framed from like being fat, being obese. So now I'm going to take this medication. One thing I've realized doing this for a while, Garrett, is people are overweight as a side effect of poor metabolic health. In other words, they're sick. Yes. Their body's metabolically sick, and then they get fat because of it. The part of the reason that they're sick is because they're malnourished. They're putting the wrong nutrients in their body. They're not eating the eggs that would satiate them and the meat. They're eating junk food. And so this Ozempic allows them to continue eating the wrong foods, but at a lesser extent, at the cost of losing bone density and eating away at muscle and other things. The other thing I'll say real quick for anyone considering this, this is one thing that I figured out a while ago. I did this big thought experiment. I had loved ones that were on Fen-Phen. This was a big drug diet back in the 90s. And it was the craze, just like Ozempic is now. Everyone was talking about it. Everyone was doing it. Well, it turns out that it caused death and major heart valve problems, many of which weren't noticeable for 20 years later. I started thinking about this more and I started doing research. There have been countless weight loss medications. Not one weight loss medication in the history of mankind has been both safe and effective. And you can prove it through common sense. If any of those were safe and effective, like Fen-Phen, we wouldn't need GLP-1s. We wouldn't even be talking about them right now because people would be doing Fen-Phen from the 90s and succeeding on it. There's none of them. And some of these, like Fen-Phen, it's 20 years later that people are dying or having heart valve issues that are traced back to that medication. It's like, you can't outsmart Mother Nature. We keep trying over and over again. Let's take a shortcut and see if we can figure out a way to do the wrong thing and not treat the root cause. It's never worked. It's heartbreaking because there's people struggling and suffering and they see this as the only way out and they're so addicted, but there's hope. It's not the only way out, I promise you.
Quick interruption. Beast Mode Soap sent me this soap, 100% beef tallow, free to try. This is certified grass-fed tallow, never vegan, made in the USA, natural essential oils. We got forest ash, paleo pine. We're in the pine forest. The forest ash is my favorite. I've been using it for a while now. They sent this to me for free, but I liked it so much I agreed to do a paid partnership with them because I believe people need to know what they're putting on their body. And the soap that I had at home is full of chemicals, detergents. Seriously, after I use this soap, my skin feels so soft and so incredible. What you put on your skin ends up in your bloodstream. And I only want to put good things in my body and on my body. And this, there couldn't be much better. This is 100% beef tallow.
Learn more at beastmodesoap.com.
Most people are concerned about their health. I think whether you're vegan, whether you are just on the standard American diet and not really monitoring what you eat, everyone wants to live a long, happy life. They want to be healthy. But when it comes to where the rubber meets the road, nobody wants to do it. And it's because we have fallen for this trap. There's all of these studies showing how food companies and big food and big pharma literally in their commercials target children. They make all these bright colors. They make all these fun scenes and activities and throw sugar in your face. They target Black communities, children, young college students and people on the go. You know, we're just too busy to sit down and make a heart-healthy meal all the time. And this is, it's kind of a brainwashing method. It's out there in front of us and it's on the TV and your kids are seeing it. Everybody's seeing it. It's on billboards. I've seen 100,000 McDonald's billboards, but not once have I seen a billboard asking if you're metabolically healthy. And I think that says it all right there. And, you know, there's studies too where, and people don't even know the damage of what's called glycation, right? People who are insulin resistant, people who are metabolically ill are automatically at elevated risk for glycation. This is the binding of glucose or sugar to proteins and fats. This alters the LDL properties. The first thing that goes when glycation is in effect, whether it's advanced, whether it's just, you know, kind of minuscule, it's still happening. It messes with the LDL's receptors, leading to prolonged circulation of this small, dense LDL, which is also present in these people, in the bloodstream. And this leads to more atherogenic properties. And there's these things called macrophages. They're white blood cells, and they take this glycated LDL because they realize that it's harmful, more susceptible to oxidation, and it stays in the bloodstream longer. And this leads to foam cells. These are very atherogenic. This is a natural reaction of your body trying to stop what is in your body from staying in your body. It grabs it and it holds onto it. This particle, this LDL, is more susceptible to embedding into your arterial walls than large buoyant LDL. All of these studies that I have seen show hand in hand, without a doubt, large buoyant LDL, when insulin resistance is not present, is not a concern for atherosclerosis or doesn't have any atherogenic properties. I also think a very natural conclusion is, well, what did people eat a couple hundred years ago? Because there wasn't Walmart, there weren't Tops or Aldi's or Kroger's or all of these food markets. They went out and found what they were going to eat. You ate meat and maybe veggies when you could, and maybe some fruit when it was in season. But you're eating meat. Humans are designed to eat meat. And this is optimal. There's the difference between optimal and tolerable. I can tolerate stubbing my toe. We've all done it. You're fumbling around in the dark and you kick at the corner because you think you're further over than you are. You can tolerate pain. You can tolerate all these things, but it doesn't mean it's good for you, right? The human body can tolerate insulin resistance. There's many people who are probably just going to live into their 70s, have all these chronic diseases for most of their lives, never address it, and they'll probably be fine. Now, that doesn't mean it's optimal, right? We're not just trying to get by. We're trying to do what's optimal. Your body can tolerate type 2 diabetes or insulin resistance or metabolic syndrome, but it's going to have an effect on your body without a doubt. So we need to go for what's optimal and what sets us up for absolute success. And that is truly, I believe, the proper human diet, which is to be carnivore.
Another topic I was hoping to touch on is plant-based agenda. One thing I get all the time, Garrett, is, Carrie, you've had incredible healing on carnivore, down 100 pounds, reverse congestive heart failure, off all your medication. But you would have done the same thing if you just got rid of the junk food and just ate plants.
All of the studies that we have that I know of and that I've seen, most of them are done where they take these two groups, right? They take vegans or vegetarians, so people who are eating very high amounts of leafy greens or just the standard vegetarian vegan diet, if you will, and they compare it to non-vegan or non-vegetarians, and they just call them omnivores or they call them something else, but they don't track what they're eating. They only track what the vegans and vegetarians are eating, and they compare it to people who are not eating as many plants. So you have the vegans and the vegetarians coming out on top in all these studies, because when you compare it to the standard American diet, absolutely it's going to look better. I'm not anti-vegan or anti-vegetarian for the reasons you think. I think in a scientific way, they are absolutely lacking a lot of natural vitamins. Vegans and vegetarians without supplementation cannot at all get adequate nutrient supply of any of the B vitamins, vitamin B12. Like, there are a lot of vegans and vegetarians who are supplementing because they can't naturally get it in their diet. I would argue if you can't get it naturally, then you probably should change what you're doing. But more importantly, if you're going to do a plant-based diet, I do applaud you because they're at least being intentional about what they're eating, right? And I think that's a good first step. I don't at all shame or hate people who are doing these diets because they're thinking about what they're eating, but they fall victim to the trap that many of us fall for. And that is, meat raises cholesterol, stay away from meat. Veganism and vegetarianism are very much backed by political ideologies, religious ideologies, and social reasons. And I don't think that's a good reason to eat or to not eat something. But you have all of these people who are still dying of cardiovascular disease. Studies show that the leading cause of death among vegans and vegetarians is cardiovascular disease. That has not changed at all. People think that just goes away, and it does not. They are at an increased risk, or they have the same amount of risk of dying of cardiovascular disease than the people who are eating the standard American diet. I think nobody's talking about that. They are more susceptible to a certain kind of stroke because of low LDL. LDL is essential for brain function. I learned this in basic psychology and biology. You have the neuron, and on this axon, you have what's called myelin, the myelin sheath. And if this breaks down, if this has any issues, this is what leads to multiple sclerosis. This is what can lead to damaged neurons and nerves. And this can lead to cognitive developmental issues or dysfunction within the brain. And what are these myelin sheaths made of? They're comprised of 70% or more of cholesterol and fat. Your brain needs fat. Your body needs fat and cholesterol. So why are we telling people to stop having it? And more importantly, why are we giving people medication that directly inhibits your body's ability to create and utilize cholesterol like it needs to? Your body needs cholesterol. If you have no cholesterol, you die. There's no debate about that. I just have an issue with the vegan and vegetarian diet when it comes specifically to attacking LDL, because they are still at an increased risk of cardiovascular disease and certain kinds of strokes, and they miss a lot of nutrients that they need. And in the studies, it shows that if you have high carbohydrate intake and sugar intake, you are going to alter your cholesterol and increase triglycerides and lower HDL. And that is not good. That puts you at risk for metabolic syndrome, and that puts you at risk for all of these other things. And it kind of just cascades. And I do not personally believe that the plant-based diet or that this plant-based agenda is beneficial at all. And there's studies showing that people who are eating vegetarian diets and vegan diets have similar blood panels and lipids to those who are metabolically ill and inflamed. It's not because they aren't trying. It's not because they, you know, aren't focusing on what they're eating, but it's because it doesn't matter how you feel about it. It's what is to your body. In these studies, they call it diabetic dyslipidemia or atherogenic lipidemia. And that consists of elevated triglycerides, low HDL, and elevated small dense LDL. And those are all shared common factors in metabolic syndrome. So if you're diabetic, insulin resistant, or have high carb and high sugar intake diet, it puts you at risk for what's called diabetic dyslipidemia or atherogenic lipidemia. And that's not good. You want to avoid that. All these studies show that that changes everything. According to studies and a big pharma, you should have been dead years ago. Your heart should have stopped working the minute you even looked at red meat. But it's not. We have the opposite happening. And they're just ignoring that. Ken Berry said it in a video, but why are they not hunting down carnivores and paying them to be a part of these studies? They're sitting here from their ivory tower saying, oh, it's so bad for you. Come and follow us around for 10 years. See how we do. I guarantee you something's going to change, because I don't understand why they're not trying to look into this and thoroughly vet it the way that we are thoroughly vetting what they're saying and finding it to be rather bogus.
You got some really good points, things I didn't think about before. Like, so many people starting carnivore, they're terrified of heart disease. Okay, yeah. Here's the alternative. Be plant-based vegetarian. Look at the outcomes for them. Why aren't they not having heart attacks? It's not only that with plant-based folks. I remember seeing this a while ago. I think India is pretty much all vegetarians. You got some on that? I was just going to say.
Absolutely, I do. I've got stuff on everything.
I don't know about them and heart disease, but what I saw was their rates of fertility issues, depression, anxiety, all of that, which is all tied to the hormones. It's crazy in India, and they're just eating plants. Well, it makes sense because they're not getting the fat that their brains need and their hormones need.
So I actually have studies on that. The lowest levels of LDL found within India is in Jharkhand. Their leading cause of death is, guess what? Cardiovascular disease. And they have the lowest LDL levels. Rajasthan, India, 75% of the population is vegetarian. And these are for religious reasons that are well known. 75% of the population is vegetarian and have normal LDL levels. There was about 15% of them that had mediocre levels that were kind of borderline elevated. But 75% of them had normal LDL levels and were following a vegetarian diet. Their leading cause of death, cardiovascular disease. We can look at Hong Kong. Hong Kong is one of the highest meat consuming nations. Hong Kong eats the most meat in the world and has high levels of LDL, but Hong Kong also lives a very long life. If you look at who has the longest lifespan, Hong Kong's going to be there. Their leading cause of death is not cardiovascular disease. That's third. I think that says something. If we're just looking at correlation, we'll be here all day, because that's not enough to determine what's actually causing these things. Because you have people with low LDL who are vegetarian who are all dying of cardiovascular disease. And then you have people in Hong Kong who live a very long life, longer than the US average, and they have high LDL levels and they're cardiovascular disease is the third leading cause of death in their nation. And so I think that's, like you had mentioned, it doesn't take away the risk, and it's because that's not the problem. I don't know why it's still being, I don't know why it's on the front horse in the war still, that LDL is just this totally bad thing, because there's several studies that show otherwise if people would simply just look. And I think there's a lot of unethical reasons why it's being avoided or why it's not being talked about.
You mentioned Dr. Barry. If they could do a carnivore study, like carnivore versus vegan, carnivore versus standard American diet, whatever. But have you seen anything in that regard, or are there any plans for anything that you're aware of?
It's tricky because I've seen studies, and usually one was brought to my attention by Ken Berry, and it was in this group of people called the lean mass hyper responders, right? And I'm sure, I don't know if you've seen a lot about that, but it's these people who are lean mass and they're hyper responders, and they have very high elevated levels of LDL and ApoB. And this study that he did, he actually has a YouTube video on it, shows they followed these people around who were doing a ketogenic diet, and it was very well planned and mapped out, showing that these people are genuinely following a ketogenic diet. They're being tested weekly for their level of ketosis to make sure that they aren't messing up the data. And at the end of it, it found that elevated LDL and elevated ApoB levels were not causative of plaque buildup in arterial walls. Nobody's talking about that study. But then you have all these correlation studies saying that, oh, well, people have high LDL and then some point later they have a heart attack. So LDL is causing the heart attacks. That's essentially what these studies are saying. According to the NHANES and the CDC, cholesterol levels have come down from 1999 up until 2018. And recent studies show that we have gradually declined our total levels of LDL, yet cardiovascular disease, coronary artery disease, stroke, hypertension, type 2 diabetes, obesity, all of these have only gone up. So you have the downward trend of cholesterol and the upward trend of everything else, and they're still having cardiovascular disease. And there's studies showing that, like I mentioned earlier, 75% of people who report having a heart attack or a cardiovascular episode have ideal cholesterol levels. And in the study, instead of them saying, okay, maybe let's look at something else, they say this. They say, we believe the number is not low enough. And they keep pushing the number low enough. And then they go, this number cannot be reached naturally. Therefore, we're going to need a pharmacological intervention for these people. So the study is saying, we know you had a heart attack, but your LDL is still too high. Let's give you this drug because you're never going to get there yourself. That is such a poorly structured way of looking at people and their health, because you have people who are genuine. Imagine you've been told your whole life that you have good LDL levels, you have nothing to worry about, and then you have a heart attack. You know how disheartening that has to be? I wonder what these people are thinking, because a thought that crosses their mind is, wow, I was doing everything they said and it didn't work. At what point do you go, okay, maybe it's not what they're saying it is. Maybe it's something else. At what point do you naturally think that? I think that's where a lot of people need to get to, but I get there once it's too late. And I think they just blindly follow orders. And I think it's because we teach people to do so, you know, from a very young age, we teach people to do that.
That's one of the toughest things with all of this cholesterol LDL. It's just like this social norm, it's ingrained in everyone's brain. It's almost like a religion or something. It's so hard to get people to think about it differently, despite all of the evidence and all of the other markers and things we could look at. It's still just the default. I see I'm on so many groups and I just saw people on there like, I've been carnivore for 90 days. This is my LDL. And they're like, I can't believe this. I'm going to quit. There's so many things wrong with it because you're only a little bit into carnivore and haven't given enough time. But besides all that, it's just so many other things we could be looking at.
Even with, you know, and you don't always have to be like obese. I was in the 99th percentile most of my life growing up. And that's not everybody's situation. You can have, like, we've all had that friend. I know I have several of them who are, they're very skinny. They appear healthy on the outside and they can eat whatever they want. And it appears that they're just fine, presumably okay, right? They don't have these major risk factors. They're not obese or all of this, but that doesn't mean anything really in these studies. It's showing that doesn't mean anything. And the same thing with diabetics. We give them insulin and say, you're on this now for the rest of your life, and we're just going to manage your glycemic intake and make sure you're in the sweet spot. There's no natural movement to say, oh, this is a serious problem. Let's reverse this as fast as we can and do what we can to get this fixed. Diabetes was the eighth leading cause of death in the US in 2022. What kills type 2 diabetics? What is the number one cause of death in diabetics? It's cardiovascular disease. Studies show that over 75% of type 2 diabetics die of cardiovascular disease. Diabetes is down here at number 8, while cardiovascular is up here at 1, but 75% of people who have type 2 diabetes die of cardiovascular disease. Same with relatively healthy people. You have skinny, healthy people who are in their mid-50s, mid-60s are having heart attacks. Whether it's optimal LDL levels or not, they're having heart attacks, and that's the issue. I don't know how much longer they'll be able to sit there and say, but still your LDL, it's still your LDL. I want to be somebody in the world speaking light on that, saying, forget everything just for a minute and look at what's in front of you. Eat real food. Eat when you're hungry. Stop eating when you're full. Drink water. Stay away from smoking. Stay away from drinking. Stop being on your phone for 9 hours a day. Move your body. Get outside. Be healthy. I guarantee you we would probably not have as many health issues as we have today if we simply did that and promoted that, but we don't.
The incentives are all wrong. Like you were saying earlier, the marketing towards children is criminal. Yeah. It's crazy to me. I think 20 years down the road, we're going to look back and be like, what were we doing? Getting kids hooked, getting them addicted. Yeah. It's so bad too, because this is the next generation. You're much younger than me, but I got so unhealthy and I didn't even eat that bad. This next generation that's coming out now, it's way worse.
Yeah, I saw a study showing that kids as young as 10 and 12 are chronic vapers now.
Oh my goodness.
We have vaping, we have Takis, we have all of these things that are being promoted and glamorized within our culture. I will put money on it that our generation in 30 years are going to drop dead. It made the news. There was a 14-year-old girl who presented to the hospital with severe chest pain and she was blue. She had her entire lung collapse because she was vaping so much.
Wow.
And she sat there and her answer was, I thought it wasn't that bad. And that's so sad that people are doing this and their thinking is it's not that bad. But right. It is that bad. And it's not going to kill you right away. It's quite literally the analogy of if you have one cigarette, that is not going to kill you. If I smoke a cigarette right now, that is not going to kill me. But if I smoke one every day for 15 years, now we're going to see some issues arise. And that's what we're doing. We're indulging in these things that are just harmful enough to where it's going to hurt you in the long run, but not harmful enough to where immediately you don't feel anything from it. And then we just think we're fine.
Right. And then people do it for years and years, and it becomes the new normal that they're feeling like absolute garbage. That becomes kind of their new normal as they go through life. I'm with you on what you said earlier, too. I think it's going to come down hard where we're going to see, like, it's so sad to think about, but it's the truth. 30-year-old kids, like, there's kids walking around right now with fatty livers. It's crazy. Yes. Pre-diabetic with fatty livers, teenagers with horrible depression. Some of the stuff, you know, I talk about, like, oh, you're exaggerating. I'm like, really? Look around. Kids with fatty livers.
Go into a Walmart and just look at all the children in there and just count how many of them look bigger than they should be.
And then imagine them 5 years from now, 10 years from now, what's going to happen?
Exactly.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's criminal. Hopefully we can get the word out and change it. The thing that drives me nuts with all of this is the fact that there's people out there that are hopeless and sick. It's not because they're choosing to. Many of them are just completely oblivious. Like, I never would have imagined my depression, anxiety. It's food I'm putting in my mouth. No, that's a chemical imbalance. That's genetic. Yeah. That's a fluke.
Yep.
That's
nothing you can do about it.
That's what they do with diabetics too. I go through type 2 diabetes, and most of the people leaving with that diagnosis believe it's just me. There's something weird about my genetics or how I handle carbohydrates. And it's like, no, it's just 3 weeks carnivore diet, and you'll start reversing those things and noticing them immediately. I've heard it over and over again.
It's upsetting nonetheless. And I don't think it's sometimes discouraging for me because I see a lot of people who are young in my age. I'm only 21. I talk about this with my wife all the time, but I don't know a single person my age who is really this well-versed in these subjects. And they don't know. They just don't know. And they don't care to know. I worked with this one guy and he found out that I did carnivore and he knew that I was eating. He was like, what do you eat for breakfast? And I was like, well, I'll have like, you know, 5 or 6 eggs and a pound of ground beef with salt. And he's like, that's all. And I'm like, well, I'll eat that. And then like maybe, you know, later at night, like 6 or 7 p.m., I'll have a pound of bacon or whatever feels good. And he's like, dude, you're going to die. This dude brings 2 Red Bulls to work every day, vapes, eats ultra processed food all the time. I watch him do it. But I'm the one who has to watch what I'm doing because it's just so horrendous to eat meat, to eat anything that resembles any amount of cholesterol.
It's crazy. It shows you that the incentives and the powers to be are really good at their jobs. I've said this before. It's like, if you want to make literally probably trillions of dollars selling processed food and junk food, you get kids hooked early with cartoon characters on the cereal boxes and ads, and you demonize meat. Like, if you demonize meat, what are people going to do? They're going to go have a salad for 3 days, and then they're going to be starving to death, and then they're eating the junk food and the Red Bulls and the processed junk along with it.
Yeah. And that was my issue when I was going to my dietitian and I was being seen by my primary. I went to a cooking class on how to cook. It was called Cook Health. And we made spaghetti. And it was like, okay, sure, spaghetti tastes amazing, but I ate that. By the time I got to the car to leave, I was hungry again. They're telling me to eat a salad, have these grains. And by the way, grains are so glorified and they're not all that special, really. When you take this diet that they were giving me and you really break it down, it was all sugar and carbs. And what many people don't realize, the body needs 13 essential vitamins to function. Guess what group of foods has the most of those, if not all? Eggs contain 12 of the 13 essential nutrients. Beef, liver, ground beef contain every single vitamin and nutrient that your body needs. People don't know that. They'd rather wake up, have a bagel that has enriched flour and seed oils and all these ingredients. They'd rather have their, you know, morning coffee with, you know, if you want to drink coffee, that's fine, but drink it black and try to find a good, clean brand. But we eat everything but what we should be eating. Eggs are the most bioavailable food that a human can eat. And they contain 12 of the 13 essential vitamins that your body needs to function. So why are we not eating it is just my question. They look at the cholesterol and they worry. If your body is in check, if you're not insulin resistant, I don't know how many times I can say it. If you're not insulin resistant, if you don't have metabolic syndrome, if you don't have all of these inflammatory markers that are caused by all of this ultra processed stuff that you're doing, you don't have to worry about LDL. And I don't understand why we're so focused on that. And it genuinely upsets me because as somebody who is young, as somebody who was very obese and had all these issues, they didn't look at that. They didn't talk about that. Not once was I talked to about my fasting insulin. Not once was I talked to about my hemoglobin A1C. They told me it was high, but that was to the extent of which I knew. They never brought that to my attention. It was always your LDL. I was going somewhere with that and I kind of spaced, but I think that says a lot.
Right. Well, I think I've got a lot of new people that come on and I try to think back to when I was new and I didn't understand this. If I digest everything you're telling us, some of the big things, everyone's worried about their cholesterol. They probably should be more worried first about insulin resistance, inflammation, and their metabolic health. If they don't understand what those things are, do some more research and get those things in check. Yeah. And if you're going to worry about your cholesterol, do the proper testing to test the proper things that matter, even though there's a lot of other things like having no inflammation and fixing your insulin resistance, which is much more indicative and important. Yeah. Worry about those things first. But if you're going to worry about cholesterol, at least test the right things. Get an advanced lipid panel. Do a CAC scan. Dig into it deeper.
And I would say to a new person as well, think of a chair, right? A chair is designed to be sat on. It's supposed to hold your weight. It's supposed to prop your arms up. It's supposed to keep your back straight. If you break the leg on a chair, you cannot sit on it anymore. Despite that that's what it was for, if something is broken within any part of a chair, that directly affects your ability to sit on it. So that's how we need to look at your metabolic health. Think about it in the form of a chair. Your body is this chair, and it naturally is designed to do certain things. But if you break the leg, such as getting metabolic syndrome, insulin resistance, obesity, inflammation, oxidative stress, all of these things that we have been seeing that are very prevalent, if you really avoid those things, your chair will be just fine, and you can sit on it. But if it's broken, it doesn't matter how good the chair was made initially. If it's got a broken leg, you cannot sit on it. Once you fix the chair, you can sit on it. Once you're metabolically healthy, I totally believe through the studies I've been seeing, I don't think you have to worry about LDL. But do you have to worry about LDL when you have all these other things? Yes, because your body is inflamed and it's hurting and it's trying to repair. Inflammation is a sign that your body is not liking what it is and it's trying to fix it.
Right.
In the attempts and efforts to rebuild, you first have to get rid of all of the rummage. Think about a building being destroyed. It crumbles to the ground, it falls. Before you rebuild, you have to get rid of all of it. You have to totally start from the ground up. To any new people, I say just go for it. The best experience you're going to have is your own. The human body is great at telling you what it needs. And if you feel amazing, you feel well, and there's no repercussions, and you're not having inflammation and bad blood work reports, that's a good sign. If your HDL goes up, which we know is good, if your triglycerides go down, which we know is good, if your fasting insulin goes down, which is good, and your fasting glucose goes down, which is good, and your LDL goes up, you should just naturally follow that order. Okay, well, if LDL goes up, then that must be good because everything else is fixing and it's going in the direction that it supposedly is supposed to go in. Your body's going to know what to do. And I'm a firm believer in that. When you look at the body and you break it down, it's a well-thought system. There's nothing like it. And so I think totally your body knows what to do. You just need to fuel it.
I love it. Hey, one last quick analogy, because I love analogies. I can't remember who I heard it from, but they were saying, imagine in the United States last year, there were thousands of house fires. Firemen showed up. So if you were looking at that data, you could wrongly come to the conclusion that firemen cause fires, because every time there was a fire, firemen showed up. And that's kind of what happens with cholesterol. We damage our blood vessels with inflammation, insulin resistance. We're eating the wrong foods. The cholesterol is going there to try to repair it, and it's getting the blame in many cases.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a good analogy to end on. I like that one. Garrett, you're awesome, man. This has been incredible. I really appreciate you coming on. Where can people find you if they want to follow you or learn more?
Yeah. So after last video, which if you haven't seen it, I strongly recommend you do. I know you said you'll leave a link to it, but I did make a YouTube channel. It's called Red Fueled, and I'll give it to him and he can link it in the description. I only have one video up right now and it's not the greatest. Kerry, I need to borrow your playbook, man. I don't know how you make all those fancy edits and all that, but I love watching them and keeps me hooked the whole time. And then I watched mine and I went, well, that's kind of boring. So I'll definitely try to get better and improve on quality of videos. But yeah, I've got a couple of YouTube shorts. I've got one video on a cheap carnivore style budget. I have plans on doing more. I have a lot of stuff that I didn't go over or that we didn't delve into as much as I had prepared. So I think I'm going to do a YouTube video on all of these studies that I'm referencing so people can see, so they can do the research for themselves, because I'm not a medical professional. This is all for entertainment. I cannot give medical advice, but I can read research and understand it. I will probably make a YouTube video on all of the research I've found, and I have a whole presentation put together. So I'll probably make that and put that up and give you guys all the resources that I have so that people can just hear the good news of carnivore and the proper human diet. So yeah, you can follow me on YouTube at Red Fueled.
I'll have a link in the description and I encourage you to do some videos on that. There's not a lot of people talking about it and it's something that's highly searched for. You're passionate about this stuff. Just share the passion, share the work you're doing, the research. It's definitely needed out there. You get a couple of videos out, let me know too. I'm happy to shout them out in social media and send some folks your way.
I would very much appreciate that. I'll let you know.
Thank you so much, Garrett. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.